Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I'm your host, Shwini Poo, in this episode 398. That's right, we're creeping up on the quadruple century mark. There we go. All right, but I'm joined by not a first-time guest, but first time in a long time. His name is Jack Borman. That is at JRBorman13 on Twitter. He is the editor-in-chief, still, but not for too much longer, of Canisupus. Jack, how are you doing? How are you enjoying? You might get quite the send off, man. Might get quite the send off.
It's a little weird when people are like, "Hey, man, like when are you stepping down?" I'm like, "Hey, whenever the Timberwolves decide to stop winning, it's or just run out of games to win is when I'll be done." But still trying to you know find a way to tell yourself that this run is real, just because it's something that we've never experienced, obviously, or for you know older fans, not in a long time. So. It's been a ton of fun and, just enjoying every single night of it while you still have it for sure.
Well, you've literally been able to enjoy every single night because the Wolves, as of yet, are still undefeated in the playoffs. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Knicks and how the NBA is conspiring to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals. Thank you. Shout out to my boy, Scott Foster. Shout out to my boy, Josh Tiven.
Scott Foster did it for both of us. The extender put his legacy on the line in Phoenix and the Wolves were too strong, put his legacy on the line for you guys. look at us, a couple of big market guys just cutting it up here.
Minneapolis. Yeah, New York and Minneapolis. They're basically the same fucking market.
Who needs Phoenix, Dallas, LA, when you've got Minneapolis to hold it down in Dallas in the West.
DC, get out of here. We don't care about the nation's capital. Only on January 6th. All right, before we get started, I do have to make a few announcements. The first thing is Strickland has an Instagram. Check that out. That is at the Strickland on Instagram. We're posting all kinds of content on there. The Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you may be watching this podcast. If you are and you've not done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment. That'd be a huge help to us. The Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website at www.thestrick.land. There's a link that'll take you to the merchandise store. And you can find all kinds of cool stuff on there. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles, you name it. We've got it. We've got a whole new line, the Nova York line. Check that out. That is actually very, very cool and very time appropriate right now. The Strickland also has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are a number of different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland's podcast that I host every Friday with Prez, except when he's being a lazy asshole and not being here. You also get access to...
He keeps ducking me, man. We got to figure that out.
He's scared. He's scared of the wolf smoke for some reason. You also get access to Takes One of His Bozos, our newest podcast that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And you get access to Strickland Discord, where the conversation never stops. There are further tiers. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Stricken Roll, my solo pod, right? Ranter, and everything you see more. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Marino, one of the best in the business. And now you get access to Strictly NFL, our podcast, which you guessed it is about the NFL. That is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers. There's $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. There's going to be a variety of additional benefits. It goes into pod recordings, merchandise discounts, and you're potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not. It's possible without you. And none of this would be possible without BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today. Use mobile device to get into the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's start with the Knicks. It's a Knicks podcast. I'm on my home turf. I need to defend it. This is not called the Brandon Terrell land. This is not the Anthony Tolliver land. This is the Strickland.
This is not the Michael Olowokandi land.
Just naming obscure Timberwolves players. The Knicks, obviously, they win last night, game two, go 2-0 in their series against the Indiana Pacers. apparently the entire conversation that is being had, I watched Get Up today for the first time in years. I threw that on, and there was a long discussion about, did Rick Carlisle have a gripe to be made about the officiating? And I just got to say, if like you're analyzing this game and if you're purporting to, you know, provide analysis of this game, of basketball in general, sports, whatever, if your initial conversation about this game is about Rick Carlisle's gripes and whether they're fair or not about the officiating, after this, you hate fucking sports, because what you watched last night was a fucking movie. That was a fucking movie. The Knicks go up. They're up 24-13. It looked like they had, you know, game one was what it was. It was wild and it's crazy. And that's always the most random game of a playoff series. But it looked like they had learned their lessons. You know, they had, you know, they started off the game. Their defense was dominant. They were cutting up the Pacers left and right. It looked like they might run away with it. And then Brunson gets hurt. And all of a sudden, the Pacers lay, going on an 11-0 run in 49 seconds, which was insane, tie the game up. And Brunson's out for the rest of the half. The Knicks defense is a total disaster. They give up 73 points in the first half to the Pacers. Tyrese Haliburton, magically, his hamstring felt much better in the first half suddenly. And he looked like the Tyrese Haliburton of old, before the hamstring injury, but also maybe after the hamstring injury sometimes, but not all the time. Who knows what's going on there? He's cutting up the Knicks. They can't get a stop. They can't stop a nosebleed. They can't get a fucking defensive rebound half the time. It is a mess, and the season looks like it's going to be over. And then Jalen Brunson walks out at halftime, starts shooting around. The crowd is going nuts to start this game in the third quarter. I mean, as crazy as the MSG crowds have been throughout this playoff run, I mean, that yesterday was unbelievable. That was as loud as I've ever heard the Garden. And it's on the anniversary of Willis fucking Reed coming out of the tunnel in game 7. You've got this whole thing going on. They come out in the third quarter and they bullied the Pacers, absolutely bullied them. It looked like the Pacers were 100% shook. They were terrified. They were mortified. Tyrese Haliburton had zero interest in taking a shot in that third quarter while the crowd was roaring. And the Knicks go up. They look like they're about to pull away. They look like they're about to pull away. 88-81, fast break. Brunson throws it ahead to OG Anunoby. And OG dies on this fast break. Literally pulls up. Looks like, I don't know. I mean, we don't have any confirmation yet. Looks like he did something to his hamstring. There are people that are saying like maybe it's just a cramp. I think you're being very optimistic. You think it's a cramp. Hopefully I'm wrong.
I was cramping watching him and Josh Hart play as much as they played, and I was just sitting on my couch. But
Josh Hart doesn't do cramps.
We're all athletes here.
So he like throws up this bullshit off the glass. Knicks get their offensive rebound. They actually put it back. But like he's basically just stumbling around on the court after this, like, so they had to get him out of there. And now you're like, well, fuck, like now we have six guys again. At least we have Brunson back, but now we lost OG. But they close out this game in the fourth quarter. It gets pretty tight. By the way, the Pacers did get back into the game, not on the strength of their starters, who have been fucking awful in this series, but on the strength of their bench and one TJ McConnell and one former Nick, Obi Toppin, who have both been really good in this series. They lead the Sixers back. It's actually one, or sorry, the Sixers, the Wolves back. Or sorry, Jesus Christ, the Pacers back. It's a 102-101 game, and Knicks call timeout. Josh Hart hits a three. They kind of stabilize things, and then Rick Carlisle, who is sitting here crying about the officiating, crying about the whistle after the game, pulls TJ McConnell out of the game. And everybody, and I mean everybody, the fucking broadcast, Knicks fans, Pacers fans, your mom, my mom, everybody's mom was aware that was a mistake. TJ McConnell was like the reason that the Pacers were in this game, that they had made it a game again. Even on the broadcast, Stan Van Gundy and Reggie Miller throughout the end of the game were begging this man to put TJ McConnell back in. And he didn't do it. The Knicks pull away. It ends up being a 130-121 score, but look, Brunson is fantastic in the second half. He's basically playing on one foot. I think he had 24 in the second half. The energy of the crowd, you know, Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo in the second half, they look like they got shot out of a fucking rocket. Hartenstein, I mean, unbelievable, unbelievable game from him. I mean, he's probably the one guy in the first half even that still kind of him and OG, like those two guys really kind of kept them in the game in the first half while Brunson was out. But in the second half, he was great. OG, I mean, he goes out hurt, but he had 28 points in 28 minutes. It's a pretty incredible game. Precious comes up with some big plays on the stretch, some big rebounds. But like, if your takeaway from all of that, well, however long I just spoke, maybe like a fucking 8-minute monologue there. If your takeaway from this game is, you know how we should start our coverage of this? Let's talk about Rick Carlisle, who did about 14 fucking stupid things in this game. Let's talk about whether he's right or not about the officiating.
And I'm old enough to remember when those same people were praising Rick Carlisle, who after game one said that the game is about so much more than just a call at the last at the end of the game. It's about what you do the last 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes of the game. Did Rick Carlisle say, hey, I'm still looking for Pascal Siakam because I didn't see him in the second half. You know, I'm not going to say that Pascal Siakam, what shot 2 of 10, had 4 points in the second half. You know, I'm not going to say that I forgot about TJ McConnell because he's the only guy that Knicks fans are probably scared of. I'm not going to say that, oh, you know, I probably should have had someone other than Andrew Nembhard guard Jalen Brunson, right? Did he say any of those things? Reference no, any of those not. Things? No, he did not. Okay. Maybe it was that we gave up 31 points in the fourth quarter. No, not going to mention that either. No. Okay. All right. Gave up 5 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. No.
It's just bananas to me. And to me, it's almost like, just like remember when is the lowest form of conversation. Talking about officiating after these epic playoff games, and I'm not just talking about this game. Like, throughout these playoffs have been some really, really good games. And yeah, there have been some really questionable calls made in them too. You know what the reality is? Like, you're going to have questionable calls. And the Knicks had a fucking questionable call go against them at the end of game 5 against the Sixers. And do you want to know what happened? I don't remember a single Knicks fan talking about, man, what a horrible mistravel call on Tyrese Maxey. I was like, maybe make some fucking free throws, assholes. Maybe Mitchell Robinson, don't jump in the air and even give him the opportunity to draw a foul. Like, don't do stupid shit. Like, you know, as the saying goes, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Like, you can't control the refs. You can control what you can't control. And unless you played a perfect game, like, I don't know, man. Like, you're in the playoffs. I just find it kind of, like, ridiculous to focus so much on officiating in these games with, you know, these are the best teams in the NBA, allegedly. Like, these are supposed to be the best teams in the NBA. There's a lot more to talk about than officiating and what's a foul and what's not a foul. And, you know, like, yeah, if you really want me to, I could go and make a supercut of plays that I think the Knicks are getting fouled on. They're not getting calls. But why would I do that? Like, it's just a waste of time. And honestly, it's just kind of like you just have to deal with this stuff and you've got to find a way to fight through it. And like, you know, I mean, I watched it. The game 4, like, you guys played against the Suns. I mean, Devin Booker, what did he shoot, 25 free throws in that game or something?
He couldn't score otherwise. So he was just trying to draw fouls. I mean, he was great. He was doing a good job of it, but.
But like, and it's like, was that actually, like, I mean, if you want that to be the game, that could be the game too. But like, I can't really figure out what people want, because it's like, oh, well, you know, you got to call these fouls, but also Jalen Brunson is a foul baiter, so don't call those fouls, but call these ones. Because it's like,
call the ones where he jumps backwards. I love Jalen Brunson with all my heart, but don't be Trae Young. Come on. But all I will say is that shout out to Mark Davis, man. Got off a plane from Denver where he got a heat pack thrown at him. He had a towel thrown at him. He had Michael Malone spit all over his face. And then what does he do? He gets Rick Carlisle's saliva all over his face at MSG. Really tough 48 hours for that guy, by the way. All self-inflicted, but still.
Yeah, he definitely had a nice couple of days there. But yeah, I don't know. I come away from this game and I'm like, you could talk about so many things. You could talk about the Knicks fighting through another set of injuries that they have to deal with in game. I mean, kind of an insane sequence of injuries if you really think about it. You could talk about Josh Hart is, what is he, 19, 15, and 7 yesterday. Like, DiVincenzo has 28 points. Brunson obviously coming back in the second half. Like, you have so many things to talk about. I mean, shit, you can, if you want to talk about actual basketball, why don't you talk, like, you want to know why the Pacers lost this game? The Pacers lost this game because they couldn't defend Brunson one-on-one, and then when they trapped him, they kept helping off of Dante DiVincenzo. Like, so, like, you could talk about that. You could talk about how are the Knicks getting these guys open? These are things you could talk about. You could talk about, hey, well, how is it that Tyrese Haliburton looked like a monster in the first half, looked like, all right, he's back, and then the second half, he comes out, doesn't want to shoot the ball. What were there adjustments made? Probably. I don't know. I would like to think that there is some actual coaching and X's and O's strategy going on here. There were some adjustments made. But, like, you could talk about so many different things. Like, hey, you know what I would love to know? I don't even know if he was asked about this yesterday. Hey, Rick, did you have any thought of bringing TJ McConnell back in the game? Because he's going really good. What do you have? I think he had 10 and 12 in 22 minutes yesterday. Like, he was fucking dominating the game. He's dominated both games that he's played, in the minutes he's played. And it's like none of these questions are being asked of him. None of these questions are being discussed generally. It's just, hey, well, you know, he does have a point. Game one was pretty bad. Game two, I don't know about that. It's like, okay, so we've determined that they got a good whistle in game. They got a bad whistle in game one. They got a thank you for the message. They got a fine. I mean, the whistle was fine in game two, but like, I just, to me, it's, look, I will say this. Do you know why teams like having home court in the playoffs? Is it possible? Is it because that, yes, teams often play better at home, but is it also because teams often get a better whistle at home and your home crowd can influence officiating potentially? Do we think that some of these favorable calls the Knicks have had down the stretch of these games with the crowd going absolutely fucking crazy, does that have anything to do with the crowd being absolutely fucking crazy and influencing officiating? Possibly, potentially. We can't never know for sure, but this is why you want home court. This is why, like, the Celtics, you know, they've obviously got home court throughout the fucking playoffs. Teams want home court for a reason. I mean, you guys played, I mean, I know they lost game 82, but obviously the Wolves were trying to win that last game of the season. They weren't trying to, like, they wanted to win that last game of the season. Why? Because they wanted home court. Like, there's an advantage to this stuff, and this is part of that benefit. Like, yeah, if you're not going to get me to deny, yeah, I think the Knicks are probably getting an edge on officiating calls in their games at MSG. I don't think there's a doubt about it. Guess what? That's why you want to play your fucking games at home. So you want to play as many games as you can at home. Not a big conspiracy theory. Not a huge, like, I think that's a pretty basic tenet of how things work.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.